between 82 and 85. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 80 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
Once again with Christian Miller taking him down.
It's time for the Miller's Edge with New York Giants legend and South Carolina Hall of Famer Corey Miller
and his son,
four-time SEC champion
and two-time national champion Christian Miller.
And not down again. That was Christian Miller.
Here is college football playoff national champion
Christian Miller
on Tide 100.9
and 1230 AM WTBC.
WTBC presented by the Good Feet Store, America's Arch Sport Experts. Hope you guys are doing well. Hope you guys are ready to dive into some more Vanderbilt talking. We've been doing plenty of it, but we'll continue to do that. Plus, got a couple other conversations that I want to throw out there that I think are pretty interesting given where we're at in the college football season. Again, it's starting to pick up, Chase. I mean, I know you look at it and you're like, ah, it's still early, but at the same time, I mean, this is a game number five for Alabama, technically week number six in college football. So, I mean, it's starting to pick up the pace a little bit. Kind of interesting to say, you know, I mean, it started slow, and in my opinion, and now it's really, it's getting there. But hope it don't fly by too fast, because obviously this is probably, I could speak for everybody when I say this, the favorite time of the year for pretty much any sports fan. And, yeah, but in sports news, I forgot to throw this out there. Obviously, we now know who's going to be performing at the Super Bowl. I know it's a little bit random, but saw that Bad Bunny got the nod. And I'm excited for it. Obviously, somebody that's learning Spanish. I like Bad Bunny. I think he's great. Chase, you got any thoughts? Reed, y'all have any thoughts on Bad Bunny being selected? I know there's some people, of course, there's always going to be people complaining about some. I think there's some people that were complaining that, oh, why would you pick, you know, like Latin American artists like that? Somebody who doesn't really, I mean, I'll be honest. Even as someone who, I would say I'm pretty fluent in Spanish at this point. And I have a hard time understanding half the crap that he says because he's got such a strong accent. So I think some people are just like, oh, man, we're not going to be understanding. Chase, any thoughts on Bad Bunny performing at the Super Bowl?
Man, I love it. Nothing wrong with a little spice in your life.
Yeah.
That's what I say. You know, I think a lot of people are fans of Bad Bunny. Christian, you'd be surprised. I think it'll add a lot of just culture to the halftime performances. I think you think of like Michael Jackson, Prince, Shakira, so many other people that have been influential in the music business. I think it'll open up, especially, you know, like nothing wrong with what the NFL has been doing from years to years, but I think having something new, something fresh, trying to reach a bigger audience, especially like, you know, our ages and stuff like that, it will grow the sport in ways that I don't think, I mean, grow the NFL in ways that I don't think people realize. But if you're not really a fan of it, all I ask is you just look into his music, really see who Bad Bunny is, his upbringing, and why he's blown up the way he has. So I was super excited to find out that Bad Bunny, especially his wrestling skills. I'm not going to jump on that, but yeah, I love the Christian.
Yeah, no, I agree. And that you made a good point in terms of, you know, broadening the the outreach, right, of you know, fans of the NFL football. I had, you know, my friend Jason, who joins the chat, Compact, shout out to him. He immediately, when he heard the news, he asked me, oh, when's the Super Bowl? Now, he's been asking me about football. He wants to learn about the game. But still, the fact that here's a guy from the Dominican Republic that all he knows is, oh, Bad Bunny's performing at the Super Bowl. And granted, he's heard of the Super Bowl, but now he's going to be tuning in. You made a good point. I didn't really even think about that. I mean, they're going to capture a lot more eyes with him performing, because a lot of people in, you know, Puerto Rico, you know, the Dominican Republic, other, you know, Latin American countries, that they don't really know much about the game, but they're going to tune in to see Bad Bunny, which they're going to tune in to watch football, and maybe they pick up a lot more fans, which we know it's evident with the NFL scheduling that they've been playing overseas, whether it's Europe, Latin America, wherever, you know, pretty much everywhere in the world at this point. They want to expand the game. So I think from that standpoint, you're 100% correct. Bottom line is, he really wasn't chosen for that. I just think you're right that is a good byproduct of him performing. He was chosen because you're talking about arguably one of the biggest artists in the world, regardless of language or genre. I mean, Bad Bunny is Bad Bunny, right? I mean, everybody has heard his music one way or another. And I'll say this too, for people that are like, oh man, well, we don't speak Spanish, we're not going to understand. Guys, how many Spanish songs, like, let's just think about it, like Gasolina, that comes on, no one ever understood what Daddy Yankee was saying on Gasolina. Everybody just loved it. It's like the beat, the rhythm, all that good stuff. It's no different with Bad Bunny, man. I mean, a lot of Spanish speakers don't really understand half the stuff he's saying, like, believe it or not. I've talked to a lot of different, you know, Spanish speakers, you know, from Mexico, other places where their accents is way different. They don't even really understand a bunch of what Bad Bunny's saying, but it makes great music. But I think it's going to be good. Really good entertaining. Like you said, he's even stepped in the wrestling ring. Just seems like a cool guy, man. So I thought that was cool. Another thing I wanted to throw out there, and we'll talk about this a little bit more when we come back. I saw this tweet, I think it was yesterday, and it was talking about Ty Simpson. Again, we know he's coming off a big-time performance on the road at Georgia, right? I think he totaled 288 yards, 3 touchdowns in that game, but obviously just his ability just to operate, command, and lead his team to victory, I think, was probably the most impressive thing, the accuracy, the pocket awareness, the leadership. But he's finally really starting to pick up that recognition that he definitely deserves, right? I know we've been talking about his play the past couple of weeks, and people were commenting on it, but still you see the Heisman odds coming out. Not too much movement there, but then you go on the road and you beat a team like Georgia, and you do it in that fashion. Well, he's finally getting that recognition. Leads me to this tweet. They said Ty Simpson might be, and I'll put this on the stream again, at the Miller's Edge on X and on YouTube is where you can find the stream. Ty Simpson might be the hottest quarterback in college football right now. Multiple NFL scouts reportedly believe Simpson has first-round potential at Georgia. Simpson recorded 288 total yards, 3 total touchdowns, and a win against Wisconsin. Simpson recorded 407 total yards, 4 total touchdowns, and a win. Simpson has yet to even throw an interception on the season, which I don't think I've done a good enough job commenting on that. The fact that we've done such a great job protecting the football is really impressive. The Crimson Tide quarterback is going to be a special prospect. So the reason I brought that up is we've been so locked in on our opponents and breaking stuff down that, yeah, I know it's kind of early to talk about this, but I just want to throw this out here and we can talk a little bit about it today since we have plenty of time. And I know everybody that's a Bama fan is going to immediately say, oh, of course he's a first rounder. But generally, I want to get your thoughts. Do you feel like he is on track to really put himself in that first round conversation? Going into the year, he didn't really have many people saying such things, right? I mean, there's a lot of talk about all these, not even think about it, even in the conference. There's a lot more talk about Lenore Sellers, Florida's quarterback. I'm drawing a blank on his name right now.
DJ Lagway.
Thank you. Yeah, thank you. I almost called him DJ. I knew it was DJ, but I almost said Ungle, whatever the other guy's name is. Thank you, Chase. Yes, you got him, right? There's a lot of talk about Mateer from Oklahoma, who was playing really good football. Obviously, he got injured, but you guys are catching my drift. There was talk of Nussmeier from LSU, 4 or 5 other SEC quarterbacks, even A&M's quarterback before Ty Simpson. But now Ty is arguably playing better than all those guys. And so I'm just curious on y'all's thoughts. Do you think if he continues on this trajectory, do you think he's solidifying himself as that first-round talent? Because if he does, obviously he ends up leaving. And that makes the whole other dilemma that we've been talking about on the show for some time now. What do you do going into next year, right, at the quarterback position, knowing that you have so many guys? Ty technically has an extra year. It makes everything kind of fall into place a lot better, I guess. But anyway, I just wanted to throw that out there so you can think about it, because I wanted to talk about that and what Ty's been doing and how he's been grabbing the attention of a lot of people at the next level. We got to hit our first time out. We come back, we start diving into a number of things. We will continue to talk about Vanderbilt. We are open on the phone lines. 205-342-9904 is the number. We'll do all that when we come back after this quick timeout. Right here on the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC.
Free gutter inspection today and get up to 30% off. That's leaffilter.com/country for up to 30% off. Leaffilter.com/country. See representative for warranty details.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
Into this Thursday. State. It's from the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, presented by the Good Feet Store, America's arch support experts. Make sure you guys check them out if you're dealing with any type of pain, foot pain, knee pain, back pain, hip pain, you name it. They will take care of it right there at the Good Feet Store with those premium arch supports designed to eliminate and alleviate all types of pain in just 4 short weeks. So make sure you guys take advantage of those right now. Midtown Village, where they're located here in Tuscaloosa, all over the country. Make sure you go to their website, goodfeet.com. Schedule an appointment. Find the nearest location to you. That is the Good Feet Store, improving the quality of people's lives 2 feet at a time. All right. So I wanted to just throw this out there again. I know this is just a quick little sidetrack here, but I saw that tweet that we discussed in that first segment about Ty Simpson working himself into that first round conversation, right? I know some people might say, oh, well, we thought he was going to have a great year. I'm not talking about as a fan what you thought or what you – I'm saying the reality was on draft boards, he was not in the first round conversation going into the season. That's just a fact. Yes, people are excited about his potential, his expectations, all that good stuff, but he was not – he wasn't even the top guy being talked about in the conference, right? Again, we mentioned those – other names, Lagway, Lenore Sellers, Nussmeier, Mateer, even A&M, their quarterback. I mean, people felt like they're naming everybody but Ty, right? But now, through 4 games, Ty has put the whole, I guess, league in, not just this league, right? Not just NCAA, but also the NFL on notice. And so that leads me to this quick little conversation is, do you guys feel that what Ty Simpson has done through 4 games has put him on that first round, I guess, radar, right? I know it's still way too early to say that, right? And trust me, I know that as good as anybody. But do you guys genuinely feel like that? I'll start. I mean, I'll be honest, in terms of what he's done and how it compares to a lot of other guys in the position throughout college football, I think he's been playing a quarterback position at as high a level as damn near anybody through 4/5 games, depending on if people had a bye or not. But he's been extremely impressive. You know, I know everybody and throwing that week 1 game is kind of like the, oh, well, that game. But really, if you go back and watch the tape, I mean, while it definitely won a great performance, it really wasn't as bad as it might have initially seemed, especially if you go back and watch it. But just what he was able to do against Wisconsin, who had a solid defense, and then also Georgia, I mean, he's been nothing short of impressive. So, for me, my answer would be I think he's definitely on track. Now, you obviously have to finish the right way, but looking at what he's shown, right, not just numbers or wins, it really is, to me, it's what he's shown. And what that is the poise, right, in the pocket, the command of the offense, just seeing him go through his checks pre-snap. I mean, so he's checking, so what I'm getting at is he's checked so many boxes for me through 4 games that I feel like he's going to just continue to do that. I mean, whether it's, you know, being a student of the game, understanding coverage and understanding how to get his guys in and out of things, right? You can check that box. You got to be able to do that at the pro level, right? The pro, you know, some quarterbacks in college, they get away with some stuff because they're in a system where it's a lot of stuff is predetermined. They're doing things that helps them really, you know, boost their numbers. They're not really relied on to do as many things. But the pro level, I mean, you're talking about, it's all of those defenses. They disguise a whole bunch, right? You're seeing a whole bunch of different looks, pressures. They throw a lot at you pre and post snap. Well, he's checking that box. He's going to be capable of handling that, right? I mean, he did it against Georgia, who's arguably one of the most complex defenses that he's probably going to see this season. I mean, he passed that test with ease, in my opinion, right? So he checked that box, right? The ability to move around the pocket, you know, his awareness, stepping up, right? Not afraid to take a hit. He checks that box, right? Footwork has looked good to me. Mechanics has looked really good. And then obviously just the accuracy, his throwing ability. I mean, he's been rock solid there as well. I'll be honest. And then what we're not really talking a whole bunch, we haven't really, but we probably should. He hadn't turned the ball over, knock on wood. I got a wooden desk right here. Don't worry, I'm knocking on it. I think that's been so impressive, right? I mean, because think about how many times you see a quarterback, you're like, man, this guy's got an arm, all this potential. But then, like, you're like, all right, well, you know, they're a little testy. They've got some interceptions, which he's going to end up throwing a pick here or there. I mean, I wish he'd stay perfect, but it's the game of football. It's just not realistic. But you get what I'm saying? Like, with him, I mean, I feel like he's just – like there hasn't really been a piece of his game. Hell, I forgot to even mention. I mean, he's athletic. And I'm not trying to glaze him, right? I'm just being honest. I mean, you turn on the tape, there hadn't really been too many butts, like Coach Saban always says, right? They're always scouts and coaches and NFL person. They're always looking for butts, right? You want to give them more ands, right? He can throw the football, and he's got a good IQ, and he's athletic, and he has good awareness. You know, but the butts, you want to limit those. Haven't really seen too many butts, right, when it comes to his game right now. I mean, I'll be honest with you. I mean, I'm not saying he's perfect, but I feel like he's just been exceptional with pretty much everything. So, to me, Chase, I think he absolutely is working himself in that direction. Now, you know, he's got to continue to do it at a consistent level, which, you know, I'd imagine so that would be the case. Probably going to be some things here and there, you know, down the road as, you know, you continue through the season. But I've been nothing short of impressed. What about you, Chase? What would you say after seeing Ty through four games? I mean, would you agree with the tweet that, you know, he's definitely working himself in that conversation? Just real quick, just to give you these numbers. Right now, he does rank third in passing in the conference behind John Mateer and Joey Aguilar, who Aguilar has also played five games, by the way, versus the four games that Mateer and Ty have both played respectively. But again, no turnovers. I think nationally he ranks in terms of passing, I think probably like 35th. He's already at, how many passing yards does he have? I think he's around 1,100 right now. He's made some plays with his legs. Then obviously we just talked about all the other great things that he's been doing that might not necessarily show up on a stat sheet. Chase, what do you think, man? You think Ty's playing himself into that first round conversation so far through four games?
I agree 100% with you, Christian. Kind of looking at his stats, and just kind of what stands out to me really is his completion rating. It skyrockets from Florida State to ULM to Wisconsin to UGA, and that's important in the NFL, man. And if you can really get your wide receivers in the position for them to make plays, the sky's the limit. I think Ty, coming into this season, a lot of people didn't know much about him. You know, he sat for a couple of years. People were kind of doubting him, and they didn't know what to expect. And for Ty to play the way he's doing it, leading the offense in a way that is so important for Alabama right now and their success, and people around him are playing better. Isaiah Horton, you know, Ryan Williams, even though he's kind of having a little bit of a bump right now, he's elevating his game. You know, the running game is starting to open up because there's a passing game involved. I think Ty is definitely, if he continues this streak of his great play and being able to manage the game in a way that he's able to put his offense in a position to win, I think if he continues, he'll probably be the best quarterback, I think, in the country. I don't think anybody's playing any hotter, any better. Because at first, I thought it'd be Cade Kublik out of Clemson. I thought he was going to skyrocket, but then he's kind of having his woes a little bit. So, But, you know, college football is a tricky sport. You know, that's why pre-rankings are so interesting to me, because I didn't see anybody have Ty Simpson, you know, outside the SEC, right, as one of the quarterbacks to lead the charge. And look at him now. He might even be in New York having a little speech of his own. So, but I'm rooting for Ty. I'm proud of him. And I think it's remarkable to see how much of his play is really coming to fruition.
Yeah, and then the only thing I will say, though, is the NFL draft is tricky because it's not about numbers necessarily or what you do. Obviously, that is one of the things they look at, right? Production, they want to see that. But I know from experience, man, I mean, like there's guys that get drafted that might have four career sacks, but they're 6'5", they're 250, they run a 4.4, and they're salivating at the fact that this guy has all the potential in the world. And there's other guys that are production machines, All-Americans, they end up going undrafted. Maybe the measurables aren't there. There's other concerns, right? But I think when you look at Ty, I will say this because I saw an interesting comment. This is a fair point. It said, better question is, out of the quarterbacks that are draft eligible, who would you take before him? Very weak class this year. I mean, it depends on what you call weak, right? I feel like there's definitely been weaker classes, but here's the only thing that's going to make it interesting, right? You got Carson Beck, who's been playing some good football down in Miami, right? You mentioned Cade Klubnik. Going into the year, a lot of people thought he could have been one of the top quarterbacks taken off the board. He's been pretty disappointing thus far, as well as Clemson as a whole. And, you know, I don't know what they've got going, but you got guys like Drew Aller, who people thought last year could have been a top quarterback taken potentially, decided to come back to school. Obviously, he's going to have a lot of eyes on him. Dante Moore for Oregon is playing some really good football right now. So I do think he's going to obviously get a lot of eyes. Arch Manning, we all know the attention that he's grabbing. But if you look at how he's playing right now, I don't think the potential or the name can save him from him not producing, right? So we'll see how that ends up playing out. We know preseason, everybody thought he was all world going to be the guy, right? Garrett Nussmeier, really good player as well. So, I mean, and there's a conversation about him being one of the top guys. So, and then Mateer, who's playing some really good football for Oklahoma, obviously just got hurt, had to have surgery. Lenora Sellers, another guy, talk about combination. Oklahoma, obviously just got hurt.
Oh, wow.
Had to have surgery.
Sorry, the
Lenora Sellers, another. I had the stream accidentally, I guess, pull up on its own. It was repeating. That was weird. Sorry for that, Kildare. But what I'm getting at is, guys, that there's going to be other guys, too, that potentially are in that conversation. They might not have the season that Ty has or is having, but off of potential, right? Like a Lenora Sellers, right? I can see Ty Simpson having a better year than Lenora's, but Lenora's could potentially be taken higher than him based off potential. That's what I'm getting at. That being said, depends how many quarterbacks end up being taken, right? And who really needs a quarterback. I mean, I don't know exactly how the draft goes. There's always trades and things. You got to see how the year ends and all that. But I'm looking at this latest mock draft from – this is from CBS. Now, I don't know if this is this guy's specific mock draft, but just to give you guys an idea on where people are kind of leaning right now, this guy, or CBS, whichever one it is, has Lenora Sellers being number one overall to the New Orleans Saints. Then he's got two defensive players after that, well, three, right? Because you've got Bane from Miami, who is a dog off the edge, right, going to the Carolina Panthers, which I don't know why we just didn't re-sign Burns, but they definitely need some pass rush help for sure. Peter Woods, then Caleb Downs, right? Then he's got a tackle. But then he's got Dante Moore as the second quarterback, then John Mateer. So you guys are getting what I'm saying. Then Garrett Nussmeier. So right now, people still are kind of leaning towards some of those other names that we mentioned. But that's why I'm throwing out this conversation just for fun, because as you guys can see, even Mendoza, right, they've got him up there. So you guys are catching my drift. As good as Ty is playing, that's why this is actually a conversation, because you'd be surprised. Some people in the draft world, they still don't really have him climbing as fast as you might imagine. And that's why I wanted to put this question out there. Me personally, I do feel like by the end of the year, he'll start working himself up into these conversations. I truly do. But I also know, you know, potential side of things. There are going to be a couple of quarterbacks that are going to get, you know, a lot of attention in that first round conversation because of that alone. But to me, Chase, just to put a bow on this, and I'm going to read all y'all's thoughts in the comments here. And if you guys are listening via radio, drop an app message or call in if you guys want to discuss this. I definitely would love to. When I just look at him, like the way he operates, I mean, he very much gives like that pro feel. He plays like a pro style quarterback. Like I can really just see him translating really nicely at the next level. But even regardless if he's a first round pick or second, whatever the case may be. To me, he really kind of gives me that vibe that he's going to be a good pro, because he does a lot of the things that you have to do at the pro level really well versus some of these guys. Like they're very talented throwers, like I mentioned earlier, right? But they still got to learn how to be a pro quarterback. There's a big difference from a lot of the systems you see in college versus what they're going to be required to do in the pros. And I think Ty is going to be one of those picks where almost like remember like J.J. McCarthy from Michigan, right? To me, like, he kind of gave that vibe, and he ended up, you know, being a top pick. I mean, don't get me wrong. I know he was a good player, but he didn't really, like, blow me away with kind of like what – does that make sense, Chase? Like, when you looked at him, he didn't really blow me away with, like, his – like, he didn't, like, jump off the tape like some, oh, man, this guy has the nicest – you know, arm, this or that, but it was the way he operated and stuff like that. He did have, he could throw the ball, obviously, to be a first-round quarterback, but similar to that, I don't know. That's just kind of the vibe that it kind of gives me. Anyway, we got to hit a timeout. When we come back, we'll keep on rolling. We'll definitely dive some more into this Vanderbilt game. Got some stuff I want to listen to and break down, but I'm going to read y'all's comments and responses because I am curious what you guys think. I see there's a lot of activity in the comments. So, again, check us out on the live feed at The Miller's Edge. On YouTube, on Facebook at Ty 100.9. If you guys want to watch me do the show, That way, when we put stuff on the screen, you guys can see all that and whatnot. But we're going to hit a quick timeout. When we come back, we keep on rolling right here. Tide 100.9, 1230, WTBC.
Do you have cracks or potholes that are dragging down your property's appeal? Hey, I'm Christian Miller, and at Asphalt Restoration, we transform driveways and parking lots with expert repairs, new paving, or resurfacing. Fast, durable, and family-owned quality that you can trust. Don't let small issues turn into big expenses. Call 205-393-9149 for your free estimate today. That's 205-393-9149. Asphalt Restoration, where smooth roads start. Roll Tide.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama, we are here treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies
and the dreamers
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors
who are shaping the next generation of legends.
We are here for you,
aggressively pursuing victory over injury.
Learn more at andrewsportsmedicine.com.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I want to tell you about our great friends over at Brian Harding Construction. Located in the heart of Tuscaloosa, Brian Harding Construction is woman-owned and strong as steel. A specialty manufacturing firm with expertise in structural steel fabrication, ASME code piping and vessels, CNC machine work, welding, laser cutting, pipe fitting, industrial maintenance, and crane rental. With a proven track record of over 30-plus years of experience, no one is better fit for the job. For an evaluation...
Tide Postgame Show is powered by Pearl River Resort, DCH Regional Medical Center, Tuscaloosa Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram, and Two Dimes.
What does it mean to advertise and do your marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa? Melissa started her business in 2014. What would you say to someone considering Town Square Media Tuscaloosa?
My experience with Town Square Media has been awesome, and I would definitely recommend it to anyone. I think that this is the first time in my marketing experience that I've been able to see my return on investment. I would definitely say in the past that has not been the case, and this, I like knowing that that's 100%. A lot of the marketing we've done has been radio. You guys have so much more to offer than that, whether it's, you know, websites from targeted marketing to radio. You are kind of a one-stop shop, and it makes doing marketing so much easier, so I would definitely recommend it.
For more info on marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa, call 205-345-7200. Or click on Advertise With Us on our website.
On The Game with Ryan Fowler.
Coming up on the Thursday edition of The Game, we're going to get you ready for Alabama at Vanderbilt. We'll do that with Josh from College Football Nerds. We're going to feature Rodney Orr, TiderInsider.com, and we'll have a chance to talk with our professional handicapper from Las Vegas, Bruce Marshall. All starting at 2 p.m. on The Game with Ryan Fowler on Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. Your home of Alabama Crimson Tide Sports.
The longest running sports program in Tuscaloosa. The Game with Ryan Fowler. Weekdays from 2 to 6 p.m. on Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
Do you have cracks or potholes that are dragging down your property's appeal? Hey, I'm Christian Miller, and at Asphalt Restoration, we transform driveways and parking lots with expert repairs, new paving, or resurfacing. Fast, durable, and family-owned quality that you can trust. Don't let small issues turn into big expenses. Call 205-393-9149 for your free estimate today. That's 205-393-9149. Asphalt Restoration, where smooth roads start. Roll Tide.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama, we are here treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies
and the dreamers
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors
who are shaping
sale now, including special VIP tickets. Tickets can be purchased at kintuck.org. Bring the whole family to the 54th annual Kintuck Festival, October 11th and 12th.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I want to tell you about our great friends over at Brian Harding Construction. Located in the heart of Tuscaloosa, Brian Harding Construction is woman-owned and strong as steel. A specialty manufacturing firm with expertise in structural steel fabrication, ASME code piping and vessels, CNC machine work, welding, laser cutting, pipe fitting, industrial maintenance, and and crane rentals. With a proven track record of over 30 plus years of experience, no one is better fit for the job. For an evaluation, contact Brian Harding Construction today at 205-752-9611. Again, that's Brian Harding Construction at 205-752-9611.
The Tide Tailgate Show is always on just before the Crimson Tide Sports Network live broadcast on 95.3 The Bear and Sports Radio Tide 100.9 and 1230 AM WTBC and online at 95.3thebear.com and Tide100.9.com. Game day traffic reports to get you to Bryant-Denny Stadium.
Live reports from our Bama beat reporter, Wyatt Fulton.
Game day picks from the top games.
And this year, special insight each week
from Roll Tide Willie. The Tide Tailgate Show originates live from Grandstand in Tuscaloosa's Timberson Square.
Come sip beverages or grab a bite before or after the game.
The Tide Tailgate Show is presented by Pearl River Resort,
DCH Regional Medical Center,
Two Dimes Tuscaloosa,
and Tuscaloosa Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram.
What does it mean to advertise and do your marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa? Melissa started her business in 2014. What would you say to someone considering Town Square Media Tuscaloosa?
My experience with Town Square Media has been awesome, and I would definitely recommend it to anyone. I think that this is the first time in my marketing experience that I've been able to see my return on investment. I would definitely say in the past that has not been the case, and this I like knowing that. That's 100%. A lot of the marketing we've done has been radio. You guys have so much more to offer than that, whether it's, you know, websites from targeted marketing to radio. You are kind of a one-stop shop, and it makes doing marketing so much easier. So I would definitely recommend it.
Save up to 50% on your Babbel subscription when you sign up at Babbel.com. That's Babbel.com to save up to 50%. BABBEL.com.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
A warm afternoon with a mostly sunny sky. The high today, 84. A little cooler tonight, clear with the low at 59. We stay dry tomorrow and Saturday. The sky sunny both days. Highs between 82 and 85. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 79 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, presented by the Good Feet Store, America's Arts Support Experts. All right, so we've been talking about this whole Ty Simpson first round conversation. Really good conversation, by the way. And I promise we'll keep talking about Vanderbilt, but we got plenty of time to do that. And this has been a really really good little, I guess, sidetrack here. But Dante Moore's name has come up because he's been playing some really good football this season. A lot of people have been really high on him. He's 1,200 yards. 14 touchdowns, only one interception, and doing a nice job leading that Oregon team, again, to a big victory in overtime over Penn State. In that game, he was 29 of 39, had three touchdowns, zero interceptions, so obviously that's a really strong performance for him as well. But that being said, he's a sophomore, but technically a redshirt sophomore because he played in 2023, 2024, I guess he might have redshirted that year. And then now he's obviously back active because he was only 7 of 8 in 2024. So he is draft eligible, but he's definitely going to be on a lot of teams' radars for sure. Then obviously Lenora Sellers just off of potential. And, I mean, even what he's doing, he's a really good player too. But people have been talking about Lenora Sellers just because, I mean, you're talking about a big, massive guy, that stature, got a big arm, can run the football as well. He's going to definitely be in that conversation. And Nussmeier, right, a guy who – gets a lot of attention as well. But that being said, I hate to circle back to this, but I talked about it with our chat here on YouTube, but it goes back to the whole conversation that we had like during the summer. And I know people were wondering why I was jumping the gun, but this is exactly why. Ty is a guy that does have an extra year of eligibility, right? He's proven that he enjoys playing at the University of Alabama, being the quarterback. It's evident that he wouldn't mind coming back, but how do you handle that, right? I mean, obviously, I think everybody here could agree. I mean, nobody would be mad if he wanted to come back, say he finishes this year the way he's playing right now, right? Why would you not want a fifth-year guy, returning starter, comeback. But you do have a really, really talented true freshman right now, and Keelan Russell, who obviously is going to be sitting there. So going to be interesting. Now, I know somebody just asked what happened with Mack. Well, I mean, he's still there too, and he looks really good as well. But if I'm being honest with you, I wouldn't be shocked if he ends up transferring just because of the situation, right? Now, I will say this. If Ty does go to the draft, I think he's definitely going to battle for that quarterback spot, 100%. But I could end up seeing him end up going elsewhere, but only because he's running out of time, right? Because this is already his third year. And I don't know if he's listed as a – wait, let me think. Well, technically, he redshirted last year, I believe, or it could count as that. So he should have two more years after this year. But I wouldn't be mad at him if he just said, you know, obviously he probably wants to play here, but if it looks better at another place, I wouldn't be shocked. So I could see if Ty comes back, I wouldn't be shocked if Matt hits the portal. And I wouldn't blame him at all. I mean, dude, I mean, he wants to play. And he's got a lot of potential. If Ty doesn't come back, I think he stays to compete. And then I don't know. Depending on how the portal window, because I know there's been changes with the window, right? Cause, or they're going to be. They're talking about doing only one window. If there's still a window after spring, I say he stays and competes through spring. And then if it doesn't look great, he leaves. But and I know we're all just talking hypotheticals. I know we're jumping way ahead. But, hey, man, it's a Thursday. We've talked a lot about Vanderbilt. We've got a whole other hour that we're going to talk about it. So I just wanted to kind of segue a little bit. But a lot of you guys had some interesting thoughts on that whole situation in terms of Ty, if he does come back. Judy says, if Ty comes back, we'll lose two quarterback commits, which I forgot even about the recruiting part of things. You do have two quarterback commits right now. I don't think you lose both. Might not even lose either, honestly. And the reason I say that is I think if they're coming here and they see Keelan Russell here already, I don't think they necessarily expect to start right away by any means. So I don't think Ty coming back would necessarily affect the recruiting or the commits, I should say, personally. But that's just my opinion. I mean, what do I know? LK says, is Ty's NIL enough to keep him here next year? Would Russell be patient waiting or watching Ty? See, those are really good questions. The first answer I would say, I'll be honest, I don't think Ty, NIL is not probably the factor with Ty that I would be worried about. The reason I say that is he could have left and gotten paid a good bit more money if he really wanted. So, I mean, look at the money that Jackson Arnold went and got paid, right, to go to Auburn. I mean, you're talking about several million dollars. And if you had to ask me, if I was a coach and I'm picking between Jackson Arnold, I know he played, but a Ty Simpson who, you know, has potential, he just hadn't necessarily played the snaps. I probably would personally lean a little more in Ty Simpson's direction, just seeing what I've seen from Jackson Arnold, right, and how I feel he's limited compared to Ty. And two, even if you paid Ty a little bit less than what you might have initially paid Arnold because of his experience, still would be way more than Ty really is making just by staying here. I'm just going to be completely honest with you guys, man. Like, portal money is different money. If you go in the portal, it's going to be way more than what you're making, like, regardless of any other factor, just because they're getting you to leave, right? Let's see. And Smitty, we're going to come to you. I just want to close off this top hour break. That way, when we come back, we let you get plenty of time to talk. Let's see. We got any more things. Ryan says, I don't think Russell would stay, unfortunately. Yeah, and that's the thing. I mean, if Ty does come back, I'll be honest with you. I don't know if Russell necessarily would ideally stay, but who knows? Who knows? But at the end of the day, the good news is if you're Alabama or a fan or even on the staff, I think the good news is you look at this situation like, if Ty comes back, you've got a returning guy who obviously is a really good quarterback, and you feel very confident about that position in terms of, you know, what he can do next season. And then say he goes on to the draft, and, you know, you guys have seen a small sample size from Keelan Russell now, and I've been able to see him behind the scenes and also in, you know, those game reps. Hell, I don't feel great about him leading us. So, I mean, regardless, I think if you're a Bama fan, you kind of can sit back and relax a little bit when it comes to quarterback position, which is a pretty nice feeling because obviously they play a big role in your team. Somebody said, what a waste for Auburn. Yeah. Hey, man, you know, you got to take risks. And you got to pay up. And unfortunately, I mean, they probably would have been better off trying to get somebody like Carson Beck, but I think his girlfriend at the time had a little bit to do with where he ended up at. Superfly says, I think if Bama wins the national championship, he goes to the draft. If not, he might come back because that's what he really wants, of course. Yeah, I agree with that, man. Like, that's why I'm saying, like, knowing him, I just listen to how he talks about, I prayed to be the quarterback here at Alabama. Like, the dude loves every bit of it, man. He's passionate about it. And say they don't win one this year, I definitely could see him wanting to chase another one. Like, he was patient enough to wait at this point. Why not wait one more year before going to the NFL? Especially with NIL. Like, think about this, guys. Like, if you had a chance to make, if you're a first round draft pick, I mean, signing bonus, let's just say he's like a mid round pick in the first round. His signing bonus would be about 8 to 10, maybe. Could be a little bit more, depending on, I mean, if it's 12 through 20, right? We'll just say 8 to 10. And while that sounds great, that's if you're picked that high. Say he falls on, like, the back half of the first round, could be a second round pick. Or you could come back to school and say you make, I don't know, almost $2 million and you get to chase another national championship. And you still could end up getting drafted that same spot, if not higher. Now, obviously, there's a risk for injury, which nowadays you've got player insurance. To me, I think it's – personally, I would definitely would consider coming back to school if I could raise my draft stock, still get paid seven figures, and get a chance at another national championship, especially when I only had 1 year to play as a full-time starter at quarterback. It'd be different if it was another position he had been working in and playing some, kind of like me, right? Like, I played since, I guess, redshirt sophomore to redshirt senior. Like, I was playing, but I obviously played more and more and more. Then my final year, which, I mean, I was a starter my junior year, just got hurt. But you get what I'm saying? That was like a full year of starting and playing versus a quarterback. You know, this is like his only year he's really had as the full-time guy and actually playing. So if I was in that spot, I wouldn't mind coming back, but that's just me. That being said, we got to hit this top hour break. When we come back, go to the phone lines, and we're going to dive into this Alabama Vanderbilt, talk a little bit more. I'll pull up some more clips like we did yesterday to break down some of the things that they'll do in this matchup and what we need to do to stop it. Plus, we'll hear from former Alabama quarterback Greg McElroy. He did his weekly breakdown on this game, and he always does a good job throwing out stats and facts. So I definitely want to let that play. That way we can listen to it, respond to it as well. Right here on the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. Top dollar break. We'll come right back. We'll keep on rolling.
The Tide Tailgate Show is presented by Pearl River Resort in Choctaw, Mississippi. Online at pearlriverresort.com. And by Tuscaloosa Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram. Online at TuscaloosaCDJR.com. And by Two Dimes. Online at twodimes.club. And by Druid City Regional Medical Center. DCHSystem.com.
Do you have cracks or potholes that are dragging down your property's appeal? Hey, I'm Christian Miller, and at Asphalt Restoration, we transform driveways and parking lots with expert repairs, new paving, or resurfacing. Fast, durable, and family-owned quality that you can trust. Don't let small issues turn into big expenses. Call 205-393-9149 for your free estimate today. That's 205-393-9149. Asphalt Restoration, where smooth roads start. Roll Tide.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama, we are here treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world. We're here for the rookies and the dreamers trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors
who are shaping the next generation of legends.
We are here for you,
aggressively pursuing victory over injury.
Learn more at andrewsportsmedicine.com.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I want to tell you about our great friends over at Brian Harding Construction. Located in the heart of Tuscaloosa, Brian Harding Construction is woman-owned and strongest steel, a specialty manufacturing firm with expertise in structural steel fabrication, ASME code piping and vessels, CNC machine work, welding, laser cutting, pipe fitting, industrial maintenance, and crane rental. With a proven track record of over 30-plus years of experience, no one is better fit for the job. For an evaluation, contact Brian Harding Construction today at 205-752-9611. Again, that's Brian Harding Construction at 205-752-9611.
It's time to win some cash on Tide 100.9 and 1230 WTBC. W265CG Tuscaloosa. Here's this hour's cash code.
The code is 783. That's 783. That code again is 783.
Enter that code on the Tide 100.9 app for your chance to win $1,000. Two special winners will win $10,000.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, presented by the Good Feet Store, America's arch support experts. All right, first hour, we didn't really get to Vanderbilt talk too much because we were talking about some hypotheticals, right? But we're talking about Alabama quarterback Ty Simpson, his very impressive play through four games. And do we feel like he's working himself into that first round conversation again? Going into the year, that wasn't really a thing. Not even really had not many people even had him as the top five quarterback in the conference, but through four games, man, I would argue that he's arguably the most impressive quarterback in the conference and definitely one of the top guys in the country. So that's why we definitely wanted to hit that a little bit. Plus, you know, switch it up a little bit. We got plenty of time to talk about Vanderbilt. So now we will move to that. But first, we are going to go to the phone lines, 205-342-9904. We've got Smitty up first. Smitty, welcome in. Did we lose him, Chase?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
Oh, there he goes. What's up, Smitty?
Yeah, he just hit the button. Yeah. You know, a couple of things, though, about Ty, right? I'll say this. If he gets a second-round grade, you take your butt to the league. Because that next year, you will be picked apart. You could get injured. Any of that sort, right? So I kind of second-round picks still make more than you do your NIL. And you may actually land in a better situation than if you go number one, you end up on the Carolina Panthers. I pray for Brandon.
That's my team, but trust me, especially the quarterback spot, man. Good luck, brother. Ooh, you don't want to go there.
Yeah, you throw it to a guy who's more known for roadkill than catching the ball. But anyway, even roadkill. But, you know, but a lot of times it's about where you go. And Jalen Hurts, right? He got his money sooner because the second-round pick doesn't have a fifth-round option. You land in the right situation without those expectations of a high first-rounder, it may work out. And I think because NIL still can't trump second-round money for a QB. And so that's just my opinion there. But I think what happens is people are these quarterbacks they expect the stuff from. A lot of these analysts are lazy. All they do is go by who's coming back to school. Drew Allard has stunk for 3 years against good teams. And everybody's like, oh, this is the year. No, it isn't. Because if you're 6'5", 240 with a rocket arm, you're not a fifth-year senior. You're gone. Garrett Nussmeier, production traits-wise, great. Production-wise, average. And LSU has some receivers.
You're saying this year? I was about to say, I think he's like he's nearing like a record at LSU for a lot of their stuff in terms of, I think it was a passing yards or passing touchdowns. I was about to say production. He's had production now. Maybe, I don't know, this year might be a little bit less right now, but last year he was 4,000 yard guy.
Hey, have you seen their quarterbacks over the years? You played against some of them, man. Let's be real. They got regular jobs. That's all I got to say. I'm saying is that the NFL don't look at production. They look at trait. That's why Anthony Richardson went number four despite not completing half his passes. Lenore Sellers is not a polished passer. So they're going to pick him that high. And that kid will have to sit for a year or two, but they're going to throw him out there day one. And remember, you know this, the NFL don't teach. They just throw you out there. They don't teach you how to play. They teach you how to be in a system. I remember Cam Newton said that. and it made so much sense. They're going to throw him out there day one and wonder why he's failing. And so, but Ty, his processing, his knowing all the checks, running the offense, making every throw, that is in his leadership. He's seeing that after the game, how the team responds to him. That stuff will make you draftable in the interview process. So I think if he gets a second round grade, Christian, he's out. He should be out of there.
Yeah, and that, and that's why I said, like, it kind of reminds me of, like, J.J. McCarthy on that, you know what I mean, like that Michigan team. Like, again, I know he's definitely very – but, like, you talk about, like, the traits and stuff. He didn't have any, like, crazy traits, but if you just watch how he operated and played the quarterback position, a lot of people really impressed him. That's why – that's where I'm kind of getting at. I know they're totally different players and whatnot. But anyway, yeah, no, I agree with what you're saying, other than – I would say this. There's a big difference where – second round money and first round money, depending on where you're taking now, that can be a big jump. So, I mean, it just, it depends your philosophy, right? If you look at, like, but you are right. If you are drafting second round, you don't have to worry about that fifth year option and wait longer to get that second contract. But, I mean, if you're like a top 10 pick, you're talking about, I mean, a difference of, I mean, obviously first round picks are like, you're talking about a guaranteed of like 20 something million dollars. 10 is probably, pick 10 is, I'd have to pull it up. I don't know, maybe 15, 16, but then even by the end of the first round, you're talking about 7 or 8, could be a little bit more than that. But you know what I'm saying? I mean, that's a big drastic gap in terms of millions of dollars. Once you get to the second round, even going to the third round, the number, the difference is a lot smaller. But yeah, I get what you're saying, though. But you also do risk you come back to school and you don't have as good of a year, or things go south for whatever reason. You risk that, too. But I was just saying, knowing him and his character, right, it would not shock me if it's like, oh, it's not like a top 10 pick, I'm going back to school because I want to, you know, compete for another, you know, championship or something like that.
But
who knows? I guess, like I said, it's way too early to tell, but we'll know more down the road. But he's playing some really good football right now.
I'll say this before I talk about Vanderbilt. If Keelon Russell can't wait to red shirt sophomore year, guys, all you need is 1 year film to be drafted highly. That's all you need. Mac Jones only had 1 year film.
Especially when you have the traits, like you said, or like people are going to look at Keelan Russell and they're immediately going to say, like, yo, he's got that, those traits. You know what I mean? Like, I know he doesn't have necessarily that crazy stature, like a lot of people still obsess over, but you just, the way he throws the ball, you know what I mean? Like, people are going to, they're going to say that about him. I agree with you. Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
Yeah, and I was like, because I do think Matt going to transfer because he's a redshirt sophomore, and it's just time. And he, at least now he put some stuff on tape, so he may have some options there. But about the game, right, I actually rewatched the game. You know, I had to crack open a bourbon for it, but I rewatched it. And here's the thing. They didn't run on Alabama last year. They threw on them. And I just noticed that, and I think because the secondary was young, and because they had a lot of problems early on, had so many young guys at the same time. And the thing was that Alabama kind of helped them out with the two guys at the same number, pick six, fumble, throwing up a line of scrimmage, not sustaining drives. Because Vanderbilt didn't have to hurry. And, like, you got to get ahead of a team like that so that they can make those speed things up. And I think that's where Ty in this system fits now, is that they actually do ball control also. And I think that will help as well. And it will help protect that defense where you got some guys missing the first half and you have some injuries. But I have a question for you, though.
Yeah.
Do you think we may see some more more Dejon Lee instead of Damani Jackson? It's because of a big heavy rub, because Dejon Lee more physical. And I think Georgia realized, Damani Jackson didn't want these problems in the run game. Right? We'll throw a run at him. So I wonder if we may see more of him in known run situations.
So I'll say this. I think you honestly are probably right. Now, I don't have any intel saying that. I agree with what you're saying, that in a game like this where you know they're going to want to hit you with their running game, they're going to test you, and you got to have guys in run support, right? It's not always, I know everybody just looks at the front seven, but run support also includes those secondary guys. It includes the cornerbacks attacking receivers and really helping, not setting like the initial edge, but you get what I'm saying, taking on those blocks and providing some support on the perimeter. It includes those safeties that are coming down that might have specific run fits or just hitting the alley. That is going to be important, especially when you're talking about a team that's running an option type attack. I mean, things happen quick. You know, they might pitch the ball. I mean, they're going to hit the perimeter. Those DBs have to provide run support. I wouldn't be shocked. I mean, DJ Lee is much better in that type of situation than Damani. And they've already been working him in there. I mean, even going back to training camp, I mean, I'll be completely honest with you. I mean, they had been working DJ Lee with the ones rotating him with Damani back in fall camp. I don't know. I mean, it probably wasn't really reported because, you know, the scrimmages aren't public. But, like, scrimmage two, he got a whole hell of a lot of snaps with the ones. So, I mean, they're really high on him and they trust him. So, I think you might be onto something. I would not be shocked if you see more of DJ Lee in these games. I'm not saying you don't see Damani at all. I think obviously he's going to play, but you get what I'm saying. I wouldn't be shocked if we see them rotating them, because we might. Vanderbilt, they will spread things out, so we will be in nickel looks for sure, but I would expect us to be in some more 3-4 type looks, which aren't going to have as many DBs. I was going to say, if it was a game where you need more DBs on the field, I mean, they're going to try to get DJ Lee out there as much as possible because they trust him, right? They view him as a starting caliber guy. With this game being something where it's a little bit more likely you might have less DBs out there, you might have no other option than to rotate him in with Damani just to get him out there, and I think that is a possibility.
Yeah, and I'll say this before I run. The other thing with Vanderbilt last year, they had so many short fields. And people don't realize short fields, it's hard to hold them to, like, not getting a field goal call. You need it the first down until you're in field goal range. And I think you have to make these guys march the length of the field and get off to a good start. Because it's kind of like, you know, you watch basketball, they have all those slow-paced teams and stuff. The best thing you do is make those speed things up by getting to a lead and stuff. And I think if you get up early and don't commit penalties that keep the offense on the field, I think that is a huge key right there. And plus, Elijah Pritchard not a right tackle this year, so I think that would help as well. Ask the Nebraska fans how he doing right now.
Listen, I'll say this about last year's game. It really was a number of things. In that ball game, I mean, we got off to a bad start, right? I mean, they jumped us quick because that first they scored, right? They ran down the field, they scored, then they had the pick, right? That, you know, we got put us behind pretty quickly. But like you said, the penalty with the punt or whatever it was, that's an issue. But really, you look at it, man, the time of possession killed us. I mean, even with the pick six, offense wasn't that bad. Honestly, offense was pretty solid, man, outside of the turnover to start the game. I know there was that fumble later in the game, but still, if you look at everything else, man, offense really was doing their job. It was two major things. They dominated the time of possession, like 70% of the game they had the football. Mm-hmm. And two, we could not get off the field. And so
bingo.
Yeah, and so we've been doing better at getting off the field. Problem is we're not stopping the run right now, which is an issue. But the biggest thing for me is I think you hit it. Our offense last year was a little bit more home run or three and out, right? And now we're having sustainable drives, which that literally helps us out tremendously with the whole time of possession thing. I think that alone will be helpful. But if our defense can find a way to stop the run and then we can eventually – continue to work on our running game, man. I feel like, honestly, this team is built to contend, you know, in you know, those big-time games down the road. We have to figure out those pieces because everything else, man, we're doing really, really well.
Yeah, and you're right, though. And I know you got other people to get to. Thanks for taking my call, as always.
Of course, man. I appreciate you, Smitty. Take care, brother. Good deal, man. Nah, he's spot on, though. But this game, I think, might look a little bit different. But we'll see. Hopefully, it definitely looks different. But I will say, I think the way our offense is playing right now, it definitely helps us out in terms of the time of possession piece. We just got to carry over the third down efficiency, and you should see a better result. But it's going to be a challenge. Definitely going to be that. And we'll keep talking about why that is. When we come back after this quick timeout right here on the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, presented by the Good Feet Store, America's Art Support Expert. 205-342-9904 is the number if you guys want to jump on the phone lines, talk a little bit with me, and we'll keep on rolling right here. Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC.
MRIs and blood thinners increase bleeding risk. Tell your doctor about planned medical or dental procedures. Learn more at Eliquis.com or call 1-855-ELIQUIS.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
A warm afternoon with a mostly sunny sky, the high today 84. A little cooler tonight, clear with a low at 59. We stay dry tomorrow and Saturday. The sky sunny both days, highs between 82 and 85. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 83 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
WTBC presented by the Good Feet Store, America's art support experts. All right. So I want to take a quick segue real quick. So I know Clark Lee had joined CBS and he ended up breaking down. I'm going to skip ahead. He's talking about his Vanderbilt team in general, talking about Pavia and their success. Again, they are 5-0 right now, undefeated. They're currently ranked and, coming in at number 16 into this game, but I'm going to skip ahead. And this was head coach Clark Lee of Vanderbilt discussing the matchup and what they need to do in terms of getting the victory here this Saturday when they travel to Tuscaloosa.
Team, you know, that was a good team we played a year ago. And by the way, you know, we haven't talked at all about, you know, the last year's result. Like you said, it's a totally different matchup, two totally different teams in my estimation. And, you know, that the Alabama team's talented. They're well coached. I think they challenge you again in all three phases, not only with their skill, but with their tactics too. So we got our work cut out for us. Both offenses operate pretty methodically. So, you know, as you look to defend them, obviously they can get in the end zone in one snap, you know, and if you don't tackle well, if you don't suffocate space around the ball, they'll do that. But, what they've shown to this point this season is, They're patient and they're gonna control the game through trying to control the clock. Well, we have a very similar approach, and so I believe that you're gonna start to look at the margins for the game being in third down performance and red zone performance. You know, which team does a better job getting off the field, which team does a better job sustaining drives, and how do we play at the ends of the field in the red zone where we finish drives out on both sides of the ball. I think that becomes a big part of the outcome of the game. And they have not turned the ball over this season. So, you know, we have to look for ways to create extra possessions. Obviously, in a game that has the potential to come down to the tight margins, you know, protecting the ball will be of the utmost importance on our side. But it's a great matchup. We're excited for the game. We believe in our team. You know, this is about Vanderbilt football for us, how we play, the attitude we bring, the energy we bring. Obviously, we need to operate well to eliminate the crowd being a part of the game, but we played in tough environments and we positioned ourselves for the stage, and so we're going to go enjoy it.
You mentioned there the belief that you have in your group, and you know them better than us, so obviously, and based on how this team is built and how they're able to compete every Saturday up to this point, and when you look at that schedule, what are your expectations of this group this year?
Well, we talk early, you know, in January, and we talked about, you know, setting a course of play through January. I mean, that's how we talk, and it's not always understood externally, you know, with respect to the goals we have, the goals we carry with us. But I don't want to be a part of anything that doesn't aim at performance at the highest level. And what it allows us to do when you set your goals really high, it allows you to then shift your focus – really day in, day out, week in, week out. So the expectation is that we go and play our best game on Saturday. We're going to have a bye week coming up after this, which we'll need. This will be our sixth consecutive week to start the season, which is a tough opening stretch. And to finish that sixth game in Tuscaloosa is especially challenging. But we're going to do our best this Saturday to play at our highest level. If we do that, we feel like we can keep the result within our reach. From there, we're going to get rested up on a bye week and take aim at what's next.
Of course, that starts Saturday with Bama at 3:30 Eastern. Coach, before I let you go, you got to give me one Barton Simmons story, one of our old buddy, old pal.
All right, so we'll stop it there. We don't need to hear the bar story. But, look, I'll just say this, man. Clark Lee has been phenomenal for Vanderbilt. And just hearing him speak, I think he's a great football coach. But I agree with everything he was saying in terms of similarly how these teams like to play, at least offensively, controlling the clock, controlling that tempo, and being able to make plays. And obviously they have a lot of respect for Alabama, but you can hear it in his voice, Chase. I mean, this guy is very confident. And look, they're not coming here just to travel to Tuscaloosa and take pictures on the logo. I mean, they really feel like they have a chance to win this football game. And I think he's right when it comes down to third down efficiency, in the red zone. Those things will be important. But like you mentioned, I mean, turnover battle, we always talk about how important that is. Well, we're doing such a great job at protecting the football. I think that could be huge. The fact that we can, feel better about that going into this game, that we're not going to give them points, you know what I mean? So I don't know, man. It's going to be interesting. Obviously, they're excited, they're confident, but we'll kind of see a little bit more when Saturday gets here. In terms of looking at them defensively, I will say this, going back and watching them in their unit, they work well together, man. I think they got a couple guys via the transfer portal, and I know somebody asked that question about Vanderbilt and kind of how they've been able to get to this point where they're at now. Was it all portal? And I definitely do feel like a large piece of it is part of that, but also just the new leadership under Clark Lee. But I will say they get after it. They're disruptive up front. And just to recap, the biggest, I guess, flaw or weakness is, them defending the pass, which we actually are, very explosive there. So I think there's going to be a lot of opportunity there. But my biggest thing, Chase, that I'll be looking forward to, again, they do a nice job stopping the run. We know we haven't really been that effective doing that anyway. So when we are throwing the football, though, I'll be honest, I think even though Georgia was throwing all those pressures and stuff at us, I would argue that Vanderbilt's front does a better job of being disruptive. And I'm curious to see how our offensive line play carries over into this football game. We know, at least in my opinion, that's been probably the biggest key, right, this whole year and continues to be, right? How we're going to go as far as our offensive line and guys in protection carry us. And I'll be honest, even going back to last week's game, I feel like Jam Miller coming back, just his presence out there, even in pass pro, was just huge. Guys like Danny Lewis being back out there, a physical guy that can play in the core, I thought that was big. He had a big block on the perimeter one play, but can we continue that? I think that'll be big, giving Ty that time to work. I think it'll be big in this game. Still want to see us try to establish a run game. Don't get away from it, but I will say their front is probably the better part of that defense, and they're doing a nice job. Again, they had three sacks last week and a number of tackles for loss in that game with Utah State. So it's going to be interesting. Now, they do throw stuff at you too. Now, don't get me wrong. I mean, I know I'm not talking about it as much. They will pressure you. They will throw blitzes at you. So we'll see how we pick that up. But the fact that we handled it so well last week against Georgia, I think, I feel confident about picking it up this week. So I know somebody asked about Vanderbilt's pass rush. It's pretty solid. I mean, I want to say, let me see if I have their stats. Let's see. I think they might have 14 sacks on the season. I might need to double check that, but I think they have 14 sacks maybe. I'll double check that. Matter of fact, because we're due for a break. Let's hit this break. I'll double check that. Then I'll also pull up some tape, get to a couple plays. Then we also need to listen to that breakdown from Greg. But I want to say they actually are doing pretty good at getting after the quarterback and forcing negative plays up front. If I'm not mistaken, I want to say they are in double-digit sacks, and I think they've done a really nice job getting tackles for losses too, but I'll double-check all those numbers just to be sure on that, and talk about it more when we come back right here on the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230, WTBC.
Your flagship home of Alabama sports. We are a championship school, and school is in session.
Makes the catch, makes them bang into each other, stays on his feet, breaks the tackle, scores, scores!
Join us Saturday as the Crimson Tide take on Vanderbilt at Bryant-Denny Stadium. Our coverage begins at 11:30 on your home for Alabama football. Presented by Pearl River Resort,
DCH Regional Medical Center,
Two Dimes Tuscaloosa,
and Tuscaloosa Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram.
Do you have cracks or potholes that are dragging down your property's appeal? Hey, I'm Christian Miller, and at Asphalt Restoration, we transform driveways and parking lots with expert repairs, new paving, or resurfacing. Fast, durable, and family-owned quality that you can trust. Don't let small issues turn into big expenses. Call 205-393.
Time to thank those who put everything on the line for us.
This message brought to you by the National Association of Broadcasters and this station.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama,
we are here treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies and the dreamers
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors.
At the grand opening of Primetime Mets Clinic, October 2nd from 4:30 to 7:30 p.m. at 4804 Highway 69 in Northport. PrimetimeMetsClinic.com.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I want to tell you about our great friends over at Brian Harding Construction. Located in the heart of Tuscaloosa, Brian Harding Construction is woman-owned and strong as steel. A specialty manufacturing firm with expertise in structural steel fabrication, ASME code piping and vessels, CNC machine work, welding, laser cutting, pipe fitting, industrial maintenance, and crane rental. With a proven track record of over 30-plus years of experience, no one is better fit for the job. For an evaluation, contact Brian Harding Construction today at 205-752-9611. Again, that's Brian Harding Construction at 205-752-9611.
Your flagship home of Alabama sports. We are a championship school, and school is in session.
Makes the catch, makes them bang into each other, stays on his feet, breaks the tackle, scores, scores!
Join us Saturday as the Crimson Tide take on Vanderbilt at Bryant-Denny Stadium. Our coverage begins at 11:30 on your home for Alabama football. Presented by Pearl River Resort,
DCH Regional Medical Center,
Two Dimes Tuscaloosa,
and Tuscaloosa Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram.
95.3 The Bear
and Sports Radio Tide 100.9
and 1230 AM WTBC
are partnering with Baumhauer's Victory Grill this season
to put you in the best seats in the house at Bryant-Denny Stadium. Sign up online at 95.3thebear.com,
on the app,
or the Tide 100.9 app.
Each week,
we'll pick a winner for a pair of tickets to an Alabama home football game. Baumhauer's Victory Grill,
with two locations in Tuscaloosa,
Harper Lee Drive and Baumhauer South on Courtney Drive. Let Baumhauer's Victory Grill put you in the best seats in the house.
With 95.3 The Fair
and Sports Radio Tide 100.9
and 1230 AM WTBC.
The Tide Tailgate Show
is always on just before the Crimson Tide Sports Network live broadcast
on 95.3 The Bear
and Sports Radio Tide 100.9
and 1230 AM WTBC
and online at 95.3thebear.com
and Tide100.9.com. Game day traffic reports to get you to Bryant-Denny Stadium.
Live reports from our Bama beat reporter, Wyatt Fulton.
Game day picks from the top games.
And this year, special insight each week
from Roll Tide Willie. The Tide Tailgate Show originates live from Grandstand in Tuscaloosa's Timberson Square.
Come sip beverages or grab a bite before or after the game.
The Tide Tailgate Show is presented by Pearl River Resort,
DCH Regional Medical Center,
Two Dimes Tuscaloosa,
and Tuscaloosa Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
We'll be right back.
Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. I was pulling up some numbers on their defense for you guys. Over that timeout, obviously we were still playing Clark Lee's interview with CBS during the break on our stream, but in terms of where they rank statistically with the rest of the group in the SEC, they do come in pretty high in a number of categories. Third best run defense, could be the best running defense that Alabama will have seen this season, because that also ranks 12th best nationally, only allowing just shy of 80 rushing yards per game with three a carry. That being said, that really hadn't been our thing. You know what I mean? We definitely leaned into our passing game. So I guess the only note I have off of that, Chase, would be that, well, if this was going to be the game we really wanted to establish that and see a breakout with the running game, definitely going to be a challenge in doing so. Now, that doesn't mean you can't, right? I mean, hell, they could come in with all these stats and we still could end up running all over the yard and maybe we find that secret sauce, but it obviously is going to come with the challenge, because no back has had over 74 rushing yards against this Vanderbilt defense yet this season, which I don't even think we've had a back maybe hit that at all anyway. But to be fair, I expect our passing game to be probably the recipe in this game anyway, kind of similar to what you saw out of the Georgia game. We tried to run the ball. We did so just enough to keep them true and honest, but then we kept obviously using those extensions and making plays down the football field. However, it is interesting from the perspective that you also wonder at some point when teams realize how pass heavy we are and how much that, you know, provides success to us, they start trying to sell out there. I mean, will we be able to compensate with our running game, right? If things do open up that way, if they start selling out against the pass. So that will be something to look out for. Some other stats. So I was right. They do have 14 sacks on the season. That is through five games, right? They haven't had a bye week yet, but they've got 14 sacks. That's tied for fourth most in the conference. And they are led by their defensive end, Miles Capers, who is one of the top guys in the SEC. He also has eight tackles for loss. So obviously 3.5 sacks, eight tackles for loss, forced fumble, fumble recovery. I mean, this guy is very disruptive. So our ability to keep him at bay will be interesting. Obviously, you know, Will Conformi stepped up big in that Georgia game and I think was like the highest graded pass, offensive lineman and pass pro in college football. So we'll see if we can carry that over. Or Michael Carroll, whoever's out there and responsible for covering him or blocking him, I should say. Sorry, it's been one of those days, man. Long day. That being said, they've got a good unit. I still feel like the passing game is definitely going to probably be where we look to take advantage of this unit. Again, a unit who has performed well up front. So secondary-wise, they're not bad. They come in 55th nationally, and I think they're averaging just under – I think it's 200 yards a game, less than 200. Yeah, just a little bit less than 200 passing yards a game, right, through five games. So they do a good job defensively. So I know a lot of the attention is on Diego Pavia and in what he's able to do, right, making all those plays, and they put up points. They're very efficient on offense. But defensively, they've been doing a really nice job as well. So this is definitely a very solid team. And that's why I said, man, don't let the logo or how some other people talk about them fool you. I mean, they're a very good group. I mean, not just by the numbers, but even just watching them, they do some good stuff. But it's not the same Vanderbilt we've seen in the years past. I mean, Clark Lee has really transformed this school. So I want to get caught back up on the phone line. So we'll do that real quick, and then I'll pull up a couple of things once we finish up with that. But 205-342-9904 is the number. We got Ram up next. Ram, welcome in.
Hey, Christian.
Hey,
I heard your dog bark. I'm out in the woods.
Christian. Yes, sir.
I know you're the fifth fair edge rushers. How would you categorize them?
How would I what? I'm sorry. I missed that last part.
How would you categorize their edge rushers?
Well, I'll be honest with you. I mean, I think they're very active. I mean, led by is it Capers is his name? I mean, they're good players, man. They're disruptive. I mean, I know he's a redshirt senior. The other guy I'm not too sure about, but I think they do a nice job, man. I mean, four sacks or 3.5 sacks in five games, man, is that's very productive. So they do a nice job. They get after the quarterback. They're responsible for 14 sacks, fourth in the conference. And I think Tennessee was number one with like 20. Then I think it was like 16, 14. So, I mean, they're doing a nice job getting after the quarterback. So I would say, I mean, it's definitely going to be a challenge for us. But the good news is, I mean, we've been getting much better. At least last week, you know, we proved that we could, you know, protect in some key moments and do a nice job of that. So I think it'll be more of a challenge than what we saw out of Georgia. I think their guys are better than what Georgia has for sure. So that will be interesting. But yeah, they're good players.
You think they got as good a juice as we do on team speed?
In terms of team speed, is that what you said?
Yeah.
Sorry, I'm sorry. I can't really understand some things you're saying.
Their juice level.
Their juice level.
Like that. Yeah. Team overall.
They seem to have decent speed on tape. I mean, it's nothing like that I think you should be worried about. But it's not like they're behind in any category, I would say. I mean, if anything, I look at Pavia and the way he plays. I mean, that tells you obviously what they like to do on offense. I mean, they've got some juice there, especially led by him and the way that he plays the position. But it's not like, I mean, I guess I'm caught off guard because I'll be honest with you, when I hear that, I'm thinking of like Florida back in the day, like dudes, like real burners and stuff. Like, I don't really see anything like that, but they do have, you know, good team speed from what I've seen.
One other question, Christian, and I'll get out there. When Bobby is coming on the option as an edge guy, what's your read?
So you're gonna basically read your keys, right? So you always have keys. So if you're an edge guy, typically you're responsible for the quarterback. I mean, unless there's different calls, like if you guys are running a stunt or something that could put you as a dive player, or if you're out in the apex and you're a dropper, you could be a pitch player. So it depends, but the rule is pretty much a traditional edge player is going to be a quarterback player, but you're not just staring at the quarterback. You got to go through the whole progression. So you always read through the tackle into the backfield. And so the reason you do that is your tackle is going to pretty much tell you everything you know. If your tackle is giving you a reach block, right, there's not really an option to go off of. That's not how that blocking scheme works. The tackle blocks down because you have to be the read guy. So as soon as he blocks down, your eyes have to transfer, and you're immediately seeing the mesh point, but you also have to periphery because sometimes you got pullers coming at you, right? You have to see that. Hence, I know somebody was asking about the shovel play. The reason you got to see that is a shovel play – it looks like they're running like a speed option at you. And so sometimes guys go, oh, they get antsy. They want to run up and go hit the quarterback. That's what they want you to do, not realizing they're about to just dump it off underneath. And if you don't close on that puller, there's a big gap that's opened up and you just took yourself out of the play. So the biggest thing you have to do, Ram, is you have to always read your keys, which is always through the tackle, that tackle blocks down, transfer your eyes. But no, you're responsible for the quarterback, but you can be patient, right? It's kind of deceptive because you're thinking like, oh, man, I'm worried about Diego Pavia just outrunning me. But realistically, you got to sit and feather because you got to hold that space a little bit. We used to always even say like, you know, have like an arm on that tackle. That way you close down a little bit to take away the dive, the cutback. But then you play the quarterback, but you also have to just take a smart angle, right? So like, you know, while you're being patient, you don't want to run at him. You want to take that angle away. Because if you run at him, you're probably going to get beat because he's more than likely a better athlete than you. If you run too flat, he can cut up and you're creating a hole. So you got to it's kind of a feel thing, but these guys should be doing a whole bunch of individual drills at practice where they literally go through that drill where they simulate a tackle blocking down, they immediately sit and feather, they close the space, and then they play down the line. And that's typically how you play that option attack. And as long as you read your keys and play correctly and do your job, you can hold it to a minimum. They're obviously still going to – they might make a play. The quarterback might outrun a guy. The guy might play the quarterback perfect, but quarterback's a better athlete or breaks a tackle, right? That's going to happen. But the last thing you want is guys getting way out of position or a guy chasing something down the line and the quarterback keeps it and nobody's on the quarterback player. Now what should have been maybe a 3 or 4 yard gain turns into a 25 yard gain. You got to limit those. And one thing I learned from last week is we've given up way too many explosive plays on the ground in the running game. And so that should be their goal this week, right? Obviously stopping the run, but limit the explosives, man. You can't have 6 plays going for 170 yards, whatever the case might have been. That's a terrible stat as a defense. And so we got to clean that part up.
You know, they need to hire you as an analyst.
Yeah, if I could work out the time constraints a little bit better.
Put you on retainer. Okay, buddy, I'll let you go.
Yes, sir. Thank you so much, Ram. Yes, sir. Have a great day, man. Good deal. All right. Sorry, guys. I couldn't hear him. What he was saying a little bit, so it's hard for me to make out what he was getting at. All right. We got to hit a timeout. We come back. We wrap things up on this Thursday edition of Miller's Edge Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC.
On the Game with Ryan Fowler.
Coming up on the Thursday edition of The Game, we're going to get you ready for Alabama at Vanderbilt. We'll do that with Josh from College Football Nerds. We're going to feature Rodney Orr, TiderInsider.com, and we'll have a chance to talk with our professional handicapper from Las Vegas, Bruce Marshall, all starting at 2 p.m. on The Game with Ryan Fowler on Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. Your home of Alabama Crimson Tide Sports.
The longest-running sports
lineup offering fuel efficiency, advanced technology, and plush comfort. Tuscaloosa Mazda, 3100 Skyland Boulevard East, or online at TuscaloosaMazda.com.
The Tide Tailgate Show is presented by Pearl River Resort in Choctaw, Mississippi. Online at PearlRiverResort.com. And by Tuscaloosa Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram. Online at TuscaloosaCDJR.com. And by Two Dimes. Online at TwoDimes.club. And by Druid City Regional Medical Center. DCHSystem.com.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama, we are here treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies and the dreamers
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors
who are Riverside Feed and Seed, Hammond's Rack and Reel, Slayport Supply, Banks and Company Hardware, Stephen Fights Allstate, B&B Transmission, and Primetime Meds Clinic.
The Tide Tailgate Show is always on just before the Crimson Tide Sports Network live broadcast on 95.3 The Bear and Sports Radio Tide 100.9 and 1230 AM WTBC and online at 95.3thebear.com and Tide100.9.com. Game day traffic reports to get you to Bryant Denny Stadium. Live reports from our Bama beat reporter, Wyatt Fulton. Game day picks from the top games. And this year, special insight each week from Roll Tide Willie. The Tide Tailgate Show originates live from Grandstand in Tuscaloosa's Timberson Square. Come sip beverages or grab a bite before or after the game.
Find affordable treatment options at up to 95% less than brand names at hims.com/radio. That's hims.com/radio. HIMS.com/RADIO.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
A warm afternoon with a mostly sunny sky, the high today 84. A little cooler tonight, clear with the low at 59. We stay dry tomorrow and Saturday. The sky sunny both days. Highs between 82 and 85. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 83 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
WTBC presented by the Good Feet Store, America's art support experts. Real quick, if you guys haven't already, R&R Cigars is bringing back those custom victory cigars. It was specifically for the Tennessee game, but you can go ahead and start getting them and getting ready for all that stuff. Good news is we got a code for you to use. That way you guys can get a big discount, 20% off code Miller's Edge. That works on their website, rnrcigars.com. Again, I showed you guys a sneak peek. I don't know if they've officially dropped them yet. So if they haven't, you guys got the early look at it. But make sure you guys check those out. They've got the cool football on the cigars. And again, the custom box is designed for it. So if you guys want a special smoke for that game or just to have them in general, they're really cool just for decoration, man. You got to check those out. Again, code Miller's Edge. Don't forget to use that code to get you 20% off your orders. Code Miller's Edge, rnrcigars.com. Make sure you guys check it out. Plus, we will be joined by Reagan of R&R Cigars tomorrow for his smoking hot picks. Again, we always like to do that with him. For all you guys that might like to have a little friendly wager here and there, you know, we like getting Reagan's perspective on some of the big matchups across college football that weekend. So we will do that tomorrow. That being said, we have one app message on here that I'll hit real quick because I know we need to get back to doing those as well. He says, hey, you guys, how's it going? I don't think he left his name on here because there's just a lot of letters and words and emojis. So I don't know if the phone might have glitched or something. I don't know. But he says, hey, you guys, how's it going? Just wanted to comment on the Vandy quarterback. He should be doing what he's doing. He's almost 26. He's talking smack to 18 to 21-year-olds. I think he's a bully. On the Georgia game, the score doesn't tell what really happened in the game. Georgia never led. And Bama basically did what they wanted to do, especially the offensive line. That's a couple of things we'll break down here. So is he actually 26, Chase? Yeah, I looked that up. Hold on. Let me pull up Diego Pavia's age real quick. I know he definitely is older. How old is Pavia? Let's see. Yeah, he's a graduate. We know that. Born in 2001, April of 2001. So he is 24. I believe, yeah, so he should be 24. But he is definitely older. That being said, in terms of us in the Georgia game, I almost could argue that, to be fair, you also could look at it from the perspective that, you know, our offense was great in the first half, but the second half we didn't score any points. You know what I mean? So there's a few ways or takeaways that you can have from the game, which that also gives more credit to the defense, where if you think about it, you know, We're being critical of the number of yards given up, but defense did what they needed to do in the second half as well. So definitely a number of takeaways from that game. But I appreciate the ad message. I hate that I don't have your name on here. Just maybe the system messed up. But, yeah, for the name, it's got just a whole bunch of letters. So I'm a little confused. But thank you, whoever sent in that at message. That being said, we got to go ahead and start winding down to get out of here. I will say this, tomorrow we'll definitely get back to doing the predictions. So make sure you guys drop those predictions tomorrow, because when you do get the score right, we haven't had it yet, but when you do, you definitely get hooked up with Sign Ball and a lot of other cool little things I'll throw in there for you. So that is on the line. So make sure you guys check us out tomorrow on our Prediction Friday, Free For All Friday. We'll put a bow on everything. We'll definitely basically recap all the keys, all the matchups, all that good stuff for this matchup. And get you guys ready the right way for this Vanderbilt game. 2:30 kick this Saturday here in Tuscaloosa. First SEC home game of the year. I think it's going to be a great atmosphere. I know a lot of people are looking forward to it. I definitely am, and looking forward to talking with you guys tomorrow right here on the Miller's Edge. Big thanks to Chase behind the glass, all our listeners, Tide 100.9 on YouTube and on Facebook as well. This has been the Miller's Edge, presented by the Good Feet Store, America's art sport experts. See you guys tomorrow.